Great to have you on this. Well, it's not quite the end of the 2020 season. We've got Port Adelaide and Collingwood tonight, and then the home and away season's done, and we'll have a week off, and we'll launch into a big final series. Can't wait to get stuck in it. It's going to be a fascinating one. Jordan Lewis to join us this hour to give his take on a few things in the footy world. Brett Ratton, the coach of the Saints, having taken the Saints back to the promised land, or the finals promised land. Anyway, he's going to join us as well. It's time for the conversation starter with thanks to Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. You join in here at any stage. Text Brett from Mornington. Just ready, boy. Stay with us, mate. We just do what we're doing here.
What?
1-300-736-736.
What? What's happened with Brett?
Oh, no, he's just a bit agitated early in the morning.
Is he?
So he's just stay with us. We're all good, mate.
We are good. Are you good with Phil, though?
It's tight.
It didn't sound it. I suggested we go up the McAllister in my tinny and have a look at some birds, he sounded very excited. And then you mentioned going down to your property, and not so. That's well, it. Look, it's just how I heard it. I may be wrong.
Last time I spoke to him, he thought I said to come and check out my two angry plumbers, not my two angry plovers. So anyway, let's get stuck into the footy. Big footy stuff. Lots of questions going around. I've got some questions for you.
And I've got some questions for you. Can I start with my question for you this morning? And that's because it's a Melbourne-based question. And I know that you've talked about this in the past. You talked about your D's back in 2018. You thought that they actually overachieved back in 2018.
No, I said it was an aberration.
And that's right. Well, an aberration, that's an over... Well, am I wrong in saying then that you thought they overachieved in 2018 or not?
One out of the box. It wasn't the norm.
Right. So you thought they overachieved or not in 2018?
I thought it was beyond expectation.
Okay. That's exactly what Jordan Lewis said. It may have been beyond expectation, but they didn't overachieve. Okay. They're sort of one and the same. But Simon Goodwin has now said exactly the same thing back in 2018. They overachieved. So do you agree with what he's saying now?
Well, he agreed with what I was saying, doesn't he?
Well, one and the same. So,
well, he's arrived at it belatedly. He's arrived at the conclusion belatedly. I've asked the question halfway through last year when everyone was getting up in arms about the fact why couldn't Melbourne replicate their 2018 form. And I suggested, well, maybe that was one out of the box and what we're seeing in 2019 was more likely. And probably this year is about where their mark is. They're not good enough to play finals because they can't do it consistently. But they're not as bad as what they were last year to finish second last on the ladder. And whether they've taken a step forward or not, you'd have to say they have. They've had four more wins. They've 30% more from a percentage point of view, but not, they haven't taken the sorts of steps that you would have wanted. So that's where I see the Demons right now.
Okay, so they are where you thought that they should be this year. So in terms of their season, they're a pass mark?
I wouldn't. Well, I'd give him a D.
Okay.
So that is a pass, but it's not a great pass, is it?
Mm.
I mean, they got. This is where. It's such a fine line, isn't it? So the Western Bulldogs lose last night. Melbourne are in the final. So do you say, I give them a pass on the basis of what the Western Bulldogs do? So this is where you've got to be really sort of unemotional and detached when you look at it. And do you think Melbourne are better than ninth? Do you think they're a better team than where they finish right now? They're probably about where they should be, Wisp, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Do you believe then, because this is the way I look at it, whether a side is on the trajectory towards a flag? Do you think they're on the trajectory towards a flag right now?
Yes, but I don't think there's certainly no guarantees that they're going to win a flag, but they're moving. I think they're moving.
They've got the right parts, though, do you think,
they're
to win a flag?
They're moving forward, yes. They're moving forward. They've got to add to it, obviously. They've got to add to it in lots of different areas, but I think they're moving forward. That's the way I'd see it. But it's not. You know, I don't think it's an acceptable result, but it's about where they're at.
Fair enough.
Now, my question for you, is there unrest at Essendon? Is there turmoil at Essendon? So what we're hearing now, we're waiting for the Danaher decision. We're waiting for a Saad decision, which has come out of nowhere. Reported unrest from Tom Morris about Bell Chambers not getting a farewell game. Why didn't he get a farewell game in the manner that Simpson and and Stratton and Puopolo did for their clubs in great scenes, great heart-wrenching scenes to see them go out. But no, Tommy Bellchamber's no game. He just walks off. And now the report from Damien Barrett that Hurley and Hooker may not be happy. Is there some turmoil at your old footy club?
I think there's unrest. There certainly is unrest. But I think there's always unrest when you underachieve as a group. And then you've got to exit sort of senior players. I think that can lead to unrest. And I think there was certainly heartache around those that have been long-term teammates of Tom Bellchambers.
And so that's real?
Yeah, that's real. Yeah,
should they have given him a game?
I think they should have, yeah. I saw in the interview at the weekend that Ben Rutten, when he spoke to Robbo, he said that, you know, he'd had a disrupted year and his conditioning wasn't there. And I don't think his conditioning is there. But you know, when you can't make the finals and you've got a long-term servant of the football club who's done the hard yards with your team, then I think it's just a nice way to exit a player. And if you exit players well in this game, then there is a level of gratitude that is then
reciprocated
and it spreads through the group too in terms of how you treat your players. And so I think that can lead to unrest. And in this instance, because he's very popular bloke there, Tom Bellchambers, particularly with those guys that have played with him for a long time, and there's a number of those blokes, then I think that can lead to unrest.
And Cale Hooker is probably as close to him as anyone. He also was dropped in the last round. So would you expect that perhaps he may be looking elsewhere?
It's a possibility that he will be. Maybe they don't see him as part of their long-term, like their short-term plan. He's got another year to run his contract, Cale Hooker. So that would be a very nice contract too. He signed a longish-term contract, obviously a number of years ago, and so he would be on good chaff. So whether or not anyone would be prepared to pick that up, whether or not he wants to go, he hasn't made that clear yet either. So, but that would be a possibility, I would think.
The best and fairest, Jordan Ridley, 21-year-old, has won the best and fairest, the fourth least experience behind John Coleman back in 49, Albert Thurgood in 01, that's 1901, not 2001, and Jack Garden in the 20s. What was Jack like? Did you play with him?
No, I didn't play with Jack, no, but I played with the other two. They were great players.
Merritt, runner-up, Saad, Langford, McGrath. Mm. McGrath's the odd one there. I thought he would have finished higher than fifth.
Yes, I would have thought that he would have finished higher than that too. Yes.
When do you want an answer from Joe Danaher?
Yesterday.
So if you're you're the coach of the Bombers, you're saying, Joe, cough it up. You've had a long enough time.
Absolutely. Like, there's been discussion about this for over 12 months now. Agreed. And I think that Joe should know what he wants to do and where he wants to go. And, you know, like, we'd be fools to think if it's still Sydney that there haven't been discussions along the way to accommodate what Joe wants to do. Obviously, the game, well, the season only finished for Essendon on Saturday, but I would think that he owes it to the football club to tell them as soon as he possibly can what his decision is.
You don't need two more weeks.
No, and of course he doesn't. No, of course
18 months.
No, he doesn't need two more weeks. I think he's going to go, right?
Do you?
I think he knows that he's going to go, and he should tell the football club if that's the case. And I'd be really disappointed if he goes on a number of levels. One, he's the most talented forward that the club has. Even in that last quarter when he went into the ruck, he actually found the ball just moving around the ground too and became a really valuable player for them. Mm. And two, and this is an old-fashioned view, Gary, and a lot of people may not agree with this, but when you do play for a football club and you do get paid a lot of money, and he has been paid well, and he was paid well because he was going to be a super talent for the club, but you don't then perform because of injury over a period of time, in my mind, you still owe your football club in some way. Mm. When you get paid and you don't perform, and it's not because of form, it was because of injury, but, you know, the club supported him super well during that period of time. They searched all over the world for, you know, the right medical advice to be able to rectify his situation. So, I know loyalty in some people's minds is an old-fashioned value, but for me, it is important.
Fair enough, too. Let's move on to some of the other talking points. Have you got any concerns about the Cats?
Yes, I have.
Richmond, yes. Richmond just, you know, as Richmond do, they give you a really good acid test. And then, gee, they were sluggish and slow against the Swans yesterday. And that can happen round, you know, the final round always throws up these strange and weird results. But if it wasn't for Patrick Dangerfield going forward, they've lost the double chance.
Yeah, they would have. A few weeks ago, we spoke about this, and I said, look, they're going great at the moment. You know, the Cats, and I think they're better than what they were last year. I still think that. But when they played against Richmond, I think they went into that game against Richmond with one of their worst sides of the year, by the way. But they exposed them in an area that Sydney exposed them in an area again yesterday, and that is small forwards. And I'm not sure that their back six plays particularly well on small forwards, Geelong. So if you can break through and supply enough quick ball into the forward line, we know that Richmond can, and they proved it on that night as well against Geelong, then I think they're going to be under pressure. Papley could have kicked 7 or 8 goals yesterday against Geelong, and he was the only really smart small forward in their forward line. Now, they set it up well for him, but he could have put them to the sword on his own yesterday. Tom Papley, that's a real concern for them. The other concern for me is I think they have to – well, this is – I think Dangerfield has to play forward, right? I think he has to play forward alongside Big Tom and Rowan. And then you've got Ablett, who's going to be at ground level. You know, came back well yesterday, even after a long layoff from the game. Those guys have to play in the forward line. Therefore, I think Jack Stephen, he's the interesting one here. He looked as rusty as all hell yesterday, and he hasn't played a lot of footy. But having him in the midfield then gives him the ability to be able to play Dangerfield forward a lot more often.
Yeah, in an ideal world, I think you're right, but I'd be worried about Stephen and Joel Selwood being in that midfield group given their preparations. Underdone, hard-nosed finalists coming up. They're playing probably against the Brisbane Lions, you would expect, maybe if results go... they'll play Port Adelaide, who they had a fantastic result against. So,
can we just say this about Geelong, though? And this is extraordinary, and that is that... 18 of the last 19 years, is that right?
Yeah, I think. Read that.
18 of the last 19 years they've played off in the finals. Mm. That is an extraordinary achievement from a football club. It is.
And no matter, despite the extraordinary achievement, the pressure's going to be intense come this final series because they haven't been getting it done in final series. And that's okay. You know, Chris Scott would know that. He'd be acutely aware of that, and he's prepared his group as well as he possibly can. But it's a whole new ball game coming up. No, the side that won't be contesting finals, the Giants. How can that team miss the finals? I mean, it's just, they're going to be a subject of some hot debate. If Essendon are under a little bit of pressure and there's said to be some unrest there, the decisions that are going to come out of that Giants team from a playing group and from an administrative point of view, they've lost some really good people too, Tim, off-field.
Yes, they have.
They've lost Lenny Hayes, one of the great club men of our time. Is Mark McVay?
He's moving on too.
He's moving on as well. So Dean Solomon is a name that's been mentioned. He'd be a good addition. But, gee, they've got players uncertain everywhere. And that side on the weekend, this is more to the point. Their season's on the line. They're trying to keep their season in line. They're playing against the St Kilda side who are going okay. It's 9 points at halftime. You're making the case for them. They're going to throw everything at it to try and stay alive. They don't score a goal in the second half. That side that has got Cameron, Finlayson, Toby Green, Canelio, Taranto, Kelly, Tom Green, they do not score a goal when it matters most and lose by 52 points. That's an indictment.
It's hard to believe. It is hard to believe that they couldn't manufacture one goal in two quarters of football, given the talent that they still had out there.
The stakes, Tim. This is not a NAB Cup game.
They didn't look like a happy group of players. They didn't look like they were on the same page as a group of players either. And they still need to shake up their midfield. They got too many players in their midfield that are a similar style and type of player. You know, Canelio, Taranto, Hopper, Tommy Green. Okay, Tommy Green is a young kid who's just coming into the game. Okay, so I'm not going to be tough on him.
Tommy Green's going to be a star.
No, he's going to be an excellent player, right? But he's very similar to their other types of midfield type players in as much as he's not particularly quick. Canelio is not quick. Taranto is not quick. Hopper is not quick. Tom Green is not quick. They need to shake that up. They may need to trade, you know, one of those players to try and get something else in that actually complements the type of player that they've got in their midfield going forward. And the other thing is, and this, you know, I think Leon Cameron has got a really tough job because I think he has to reinvent himself in some way. And as a coach, when you are with a group of players for a long period of time, they can switch off from the message that you're sending by the way you're sending it, or by the mere fact that they've tried that and they didn't think that it worked before, or the coach has become inconsistent about what he's trying to implement with that group of players. So I think he's got a really tough off-season as well.
They've got players in there that they haven't been playing. So they're their own worst enemy. If they get to a final and you don't like the midfield mix, what about Haitley and O'Halloran and these young guys? They just haven't been playing in recent times. They've got issues. We'll get back to it. We've got a lot of calls. We've got a lot of messages coming through. A lot of footy topics to talk about this morning. So the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento has landed. Find out more at kia.com.au. We'll be back with more after this.